Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Serendipity is all I can call it. Last Sunday was in Glasnevin Cemetery and I fell into talking with a number of people about nursing homes, and one of the gathering mentioned St. Monica's Nursing Home in Belvedere Place in Dublin, and she said it was a lovely nursing home. Unfortunately, it had closed. And then as I walked out of the cemetery on my own, I came across a communal marker for St. Monica's Nursing Home in Belvedere Place. I'd never heard of it before, so there was two mentions of it. And this morning when I was having a conversation with Rebecca, as we do every morning, she said overnight this incredible email had come in about St. Monica's Nursing Home in Belvedere Place in Dublin, just up from Mountjoy Square, where I was born in actual fact. And it is a very unusual story. So I'm calling now on people who had friends or relatives in St. Monica's Nursing Home in Belvedere Place in Dublin to listen carefully, because we found something, one we should not have found. Well, Paul found it. We should not have found. We'll try and find out how it ended up, where it ended up. Paul Ryan, good afternoon.
Joe.
Okay, Paul, begin in, you are in Ratangan, Durrow in County Laois.
Yeah, originally from Ratangan, but living in Durrow at the moment.
Durrow, okay. So what is your connection, and how did you, with St. Monica's Nursing Home?
Yeah, okay. Well, the story starts, Joe, very simply, where my partner and I kind of fell in love with the property down in Durrow and moved down to this Georgian house, and we decided that the location of the property we required perhaps was safe for this
okay,
house.
Yeah.
So we went online, had a look around, and lo and behold, we came across an absolute perfect safe for the property. It was an old kind of style safe, and I said, look, absolutely ideal.
I have a photograph here, just
yeah.
Because again, when Rebecca was explaining to me, I immediately was visualising a small, it's a Sherlock Holmes type safe.
It's a
big
safe
with a big handle on it and keys, and robust and sturdy. It would take a number of people to lift it. It's the size of a bedside locker and beyond.
It's a good size, Joe, all
yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an old Regency kind of green
beautiful.
Safe with the brass handle and the old lock and whatnot. So it's eye-catching, let's just say that.
Yeah. So you saw this on, where was it, Dundeel?
It was Dundeel. I spotted it, yeah.
So what happened next?
So I contacted the purchaser and said, look, realised he was only 20 minutes away from me, everything added up. Brilliant, fantastic. Decided to go down and meet him the next day to have a look at it to make sure everything is as it is.
Right.
And so he agreed to all the above. I arrived down to a lockup or one of his own properties and went in, met him, an absolute gentleman, lovely, lovely man. He had mentioned that the safe had come from a home in Dublin.
Okay.
So I kind of, my ears kind of picked, okay, everything adds up. He opened the safe up, everything was empty in it, everything was as is. And I said, fantastic. Gave him the few bob and headed back to Durrow to have a look at it in a bit more detail.
And how heavy is this safe,
Paul? Yeah, it's kind of a 2 or 3 man lift, to be honest with you, Joe. So it's a robust safe. It's not something that you'd see in a holiday home or something on the side locker. Like it's a big safe.
We're going to tweet photographs of the safe. The other subsequent information you're about to deliver, we can't tweet because of the nature of it. But anyway, so you brought this incredible safe home after buying it. And what happened next?
So I arrived back to the house and opened up the safe to get a bit more detail, see what it's about. As I opened it up, I realised that at the bottom there was a drawer. Within the drawer, there was no key for it. So I opened the drawer and it kind of got caught by the hinge of the safe.
Okay.
So I kind of realised by opening the safe fully wide, I can actually shimmy this bottom lock out.
Okay.
So on opening this tray, I realised there's something behind there. So curiosity kind of gets the better of me. I put my head down, and the first thing I see is the glistening of a gold ring.
Ah. So, by the way, was it a secret drawer or just an awkward drawer?
No, it wasn't, Joe. No. It was a normal drawer that was part of the safe. So either something has happened where these have been stuck behind, or has somebody had specifically put these behind the safe to keep them even more safe, let's just say.
Okay.
So by opening this up, Joe, I then kind of the curiosity, my head is spinning at this day, saying, what on earth have I unveiled here? What have I come across? So I then realised bit by bit that there was watches, there's rings, there's documents, there's all sorts of things here. And I kind of say, my God, what on earth have I found now? So long and behold, I pull out a couple of the documents and kind of to see what's on them. And very, very quickly I realise, yes, it has come from a home in Dublin, a nursing home.
Okay. And the nursing home is called?
And the nursing home is St. Monica's Nursing Home in Belvedere Place, Dublin 1.
Wow. Which?
So, Joe, these are very sensitive documents.
Yeah, that's why we won't send any photographs.
Absolutely. Like, there's grave papers, there's wills, there's a lot of very personal items on this. And as I said before, what's valuable to one person could be invaluable to another. Yeah. And the hope from all of this is that somebody out there, whether it's a family or some relation or somebody there, will be able to either get closure or benefit from the above.
Okay, now I'd known from my conversation on Sunday that St. Monica's had shut down recently. It implied, I'm going from the Irish Times here, because like you, we're trying to put this mystery together. One, how the safe, which was, you're convinced, Paul, was legitimately bought by you from a legitimate seller. That's 100%. Let's make that absolutely clear.
Absolutely.
Now, did he tell you where he bought the safe?
No, he had mentioned it came from a home in Dublin, and that was the thing. So I kind of, initially, kind of, you say a home in Dublin. Was it a house? Was it a residential home? There was no kind of mention that it had come from a sale from that. And we were kind of just, it was a fairly quick transaction, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I didn't get into too much
detail. Do you know who organised the sale of the safe?
I didn't at that stage, no, because as I said, he was a lovely gentleman. Everything added up. His son was with them. I was very happy that what I was purchasing was fully legit, and that's everything.
Because we now know who organised the sale of that safe, don't we? It's KPMG, the liquidators.
KPMG. Yes.
So, did KPMG, the liquidators, because they are forced in, all liquid, they're well paid for their work,
sure. And
people say rightly so, they're forced to be paid. Did the liquidators, and we've been on to KPMG, we're hoping, because the two liquidators are named in the paper, and they're well-known and very reputable liquidators. Did they actually just give the safe away or sell the safe as a job lot without opening the safe? Now, we don't know. This is a question I'm not asking you to answer, Paul, because you'd be going to the High Court. Liquidators are from very, very big corporations. So what can we say to people is in this safe? Like, I can see the wedding ring from the photograph. I can see Lanigal's funeral directors referring to somebody who died in 1903. And the reference of the grave they are in, the exact reference. And then it says one other person may go into this grave and two other people may go into grave number as per Glasson. So they're given, these are details that people need if they to find out where they're. The ring has a date on it on a bit of paper that it's sellotaped to of the 12th of the 11th, 98. I presume it's 1998. I'm not definite, but I presume it's 1998. And it says ring given in. I'm going to give out this name, I think. I give out this name if I can. Yeah, if Rebecca says yes. Yeah, thanks, Rebecca. Ring given in by Debbie Mortimer. And the date. Now, was she a resident who gave the ring for safekeeping in this incredible safe on the 12th of the 11th, 98? If she was a resident, I'm absolutely sure that her relatives would love to have that wedding ring or whatever. It looks like a wedding ring back. There are grave papers. Again, another person from Lanigan Funeral Directors. Look, quite well. No, they're not that old, because the phone numbers are seven-digit phone numbers in Dublin.
Sure.
So they're a recent invention, so to speak. And then you reckon there's wills in there. There's other pieces of really important and valuable to the individuals and their families documentation.
There is, Joe, and in particular, not just obviously a family's will, but there's a computer stick that was also in there, which I have no doubt whatsoever is containing very, very valuable information for somebody out there. So for me to have it where I am at the moment is, like, what am I doing with it?
And then GDPR and all that carry on.
GDPR Helen Dix and all of the above. Now, where do you start?
Paul, why didn't you go to the Gardaí with this?
Yeah, I suppose my head said to bring it to the guards, Joe, initially, and then I suppose my heart, which dictates most things with you, kind of said, hold on a second here, it could end up in a back drawer, it could end up in a back office. I'm sure the guards, who are always very, very good for getting things sorted, it mightn't be top priority at the moment. But then again, when you looked at all the details of the last while, of families outside nursing homes, you're seeing them in the windows, you're seeing all of the above, the heartstrings kind of got pulled, and I said, I would love to find and make sure they get back to the people that actually deserve them.
While the name St. Monica's is still in the ether.
But now, it's still there.
I've mentioned it four times, I'll mention it again. Have you any connection with St. Monica's and Belvedere Place in Dublin?
None
where I'm asking it generally, I know it was run by the Sisters of Charity. Would the Sisters of Charity come on and talk to us about how we can get this valuable information properly back to the relatives? Now, Liam O'Reilly has contacted us. Liam, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Terrible line. Are you on a speakerphone, Liam, by any chance?
Do you want me to take you off,
Yeah, grand, yeah.
Sorry,
Liam,
yeah.
What is your connection with St. Monica's at Belvedere Place in Mountjoy Square in Dublin 1?
I worked there full-time for the past 3.5, 4 years.
Okay. Well, tell us what it was exactly, Liam.
Can you hear me? Sorry.
I was
full-time employment there for the last 3 years or so.
Okay. And what was it?
It's a nursing home. I worked there as a healthcare assistant.
Good stuff. And how big was it?
There was four floors. The two floors that we took care of, we had 46 residents.
Okay. And it was a four-story building.
Yeah, the top two floors were the retired nun, Sisters of Charity's nursing, like a retirement home.
Right.
And the first two floors was where we worked as healthcare assistants or whatever, and we had 46 residents.
And were they in individual rooms or?
Yeah, there was two rooms that had double rooms, but the rest were all individual.
Okay, so what type of building was it? Regency building or a Georgian building or?
I have no idea. It's been there for years and years. It has a beautiful chapel attached to it and all it did. It was full efficient. The bottom two floors was a kitchen and then administration offices and stuff like that.
And how many people worked there?
A total, I think, like 65 or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's 24/7, 365.
Oh, yeah, we were there. We were operational 24/7.
Okay. And who ran it?
It was under, we had our director of nursing, was in Nursing Homes Ireland, and then also in coordination then with the Sisters of Charity. The Sisters of Charity ran it for years.
Oh, they ran it for years, okay.
Yeah.
And are they still there? Were they still there?
No, they moved. We got a notification on the 8th of July to say that we were at risk of redundancy, and then that by October 11th we would be out, and then that we'd get all our pay, we'd get what money was due to us, our redundancy, our notice and stuff like that. And then within a week then, all of a sudden, the sisters then had appointed, within four or five weeks, the Sisters of Charity had appointed liquidators to come in, KPMG, I believe. And then all of a sudden then, within 4 or 5 weeks, all the residents were just shipped out, gone. All their belongings were put in plastic bags and they were all shipped out into their new homes. When KPMG came in, we were not to receive. One minute he had money for redundancy and wages, and then the next minute he didn't. And so what it was then that we had to... I'm trying to think now. I'm getting all nervous.
Take your time.
So all of a sudden then we were just... within 4 or 5 weeks, then all the residents that were remaining from the pandemic, we lost like 5, 6 people.
Wow.
One survived. Then all the residents... their other belongings were put in black plastic bags, and they were shipped off to their new homes.
And what age were the residents?
We had four that were over the age of 100, 202, wow. And the rest of them, I'd say the youngest would have been about, I'd say early 80s, mid-80s.
So four residents over 100. How long do you reckon they've been there?
Well, one of them was my favourite. I don't know if I can say her name, but I used to call her Nanny.
Nanny, but has she got a forced name? You needn't give her.
Frances was her name, and she was 102, and she was everybody's favourite. She was just this wonderful woman. Everybody loved her. She loved everybody. And we were with her. Right, she was one of the last residents to go. And it was just shocking because we were told that they were going to coordinate with us. They were going to coordinate with the families, the residents, family members, and to make this a good transition. But it all happened so fast. Before we knew it, we were out in the street. And we were told we weren't going to get paid our wages for August. But all the staff, we all stayed on and still fulfilled their duties right till the last resident left. It was quite horrific because, there were some residents that I didn't even get to say goodbye to. The ones that I had been working with over the years. I ran a program called Sonus. It was working with dementia patients, and it was very, very effective. It was just like 1 minute I was gone, and then like the next day I come in, like they would chip out four or five. Like they'd say to you, like, okay, this person's gone in 2 hours. Pack them up and get them ready and get them gone. You couldn't make it up.
So how long notice did those women, was it men and women?
Men and women,
okay.
Yeah.
Much notice were those people given that they were moving?
Some of them got a couple of hours, some of them got a day, a night, an afternoon. None of them got you're going Friday. None of them got that. None of them got like a duration, you know.
And so what was their reaction, Liam, can you remember?
Pardon?
What was their reaction?
One or two of them actually ended up in hospital with the fright. A lot of them were very just nervous. It was actually our work had doubled, tripled again because we were trying to console them, trying to kind of like say, okay, you know, not knowing really, hey, like we're like, you know, everything's going to be okay. We were kind of we had to try and give them hope, even though we didn't know, you know.
And where, for example, did you know where Nanny Frances went?
Yeah, I do. She went up to a nursing home up off the Navan Road there.
Yeah.
And then there was actually a problem there, she was gone to one place and it wasn't suitable, and we were going to another place, but then eventually the family kind of got involved, and then they chose a place up on the Navan Road. They went to all these different nursing homes that are kind of care choice. It happened so fast, Joe.
Did anyone, given that there was 45 residents there, and I presume some of them would have been there for a long time.
Oh, some of them were there for decades, you know.
And would have made
a few there that were, the newer ones were probably there about 2-3 years, but there were some of them there were like 15, 20 years. There's one of my favourites as well, Evelyn. She was one of my favourites, and she suffered really bad with anxiety, and she was a personal friend of mine, like as well as a responsibility. Okay. But I didn't even get to say goodbye to her, and I haven't seen or talked to her since because of where she is and the restrictions and stuff like that. And like I actually have residents, family members calling me and to see how I am, and then just kind of fill me in and how their family members are getting on. Like, that's the only kind of correspondence we've had. It was just all so quick and just ripped out from underneath us, you know.
And were any groups who were friends of each other, were any of them moved to the same nursing home?
No, there was a few clusters of in the dining hall, you'd sit together in tables, and the kitchen staff, even the kitchen staff knew them all by name. You knew everything about their dietary needs, wherever, without having to be actually informed, because we all had such a close relationship. And there's little groups of clusters that they were friends for a number of years, and they'd sit and play bingo together, or they'd do all these activities together. And then all of a sudden, they were all shipped out to various different nursing homes, and that's it. Game over. They're all sent off to different places, and no contact with each other anymore. So,
a couple of more questions, Liam. Liam, do you recognise this safe?
Pardon me?
Do you recognise this safe that we've come across?
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah.
And where was it?
It was actually in the financial advisor's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to that, that chap was talking about that ring.
Yeah.
What you call it, that was there.
You found a ring,
That was actually a nurse's ring, I believe.
Okay.
Mortimer, she was actually a nurse that worked there.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Well, we get that back to her.
Hopefully.
Okay.
It's just so sad because we've been really trying hard.
And did you know, Liam, that in the safe and this drawer that the Paul Ryan, who bought the safe through a third party, because we try and find out how the safe left St Monica's with documentation still in it.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to hear that there's wills in the safe, that there's documents about graves, that there's jewellery in the safe?
No, it wasn't, because air duty sometimes, like, I'd have a resident and then they might lose, they might have a wedding band on or a nice piece of expensive jewellery. So if they had something that kind of fell off or came, or like, you know what I mean, like broke off their neck, we'd hand it over to our nurse in charge and it went into that safe. It was put into an envelope or it was labelled and it was put into those safes, it was.
And do you think, Liam, that was the only safe in the building?
No, it's not. It wasn't. There was one in each. There was an air floor, we had first floor and second floor, and they had two small safes in each nursing station's office, and then the big main safe was down in it was either in the CEO's office or the safe
we've now come across. Do you reckon that was the main safe? It's a big safe now.
Yeah, that's it. That more than likely would have been the CEO would have had what you call access to that. That only, and then the financial advisor, the administrator, whatever.
Now, why did St Monica's close after? Do you know how long it was there for, Liam?
Oh, it's been there. Well, I know. I'm only there. I'm one of the lesser few. I've only worked there like 3 years or so, 3.5 years. I've been working as a healthcare assistant for 6-7 years. I love my vocation. Some of the residents, or some of the staff that work there, are what you call it, been there. Some of them have been there for 25 years. Wow. Most of them have been there for 15, 20 plus years. And actual fact, right now at the minute, we're actually out in the Sisters of Charity on Guildford Road. We're protesting every day because we've been trying to, because we were let go with loss of wages, no wages for August, no money for redundancy, no money for what you call it, like, you know, for paying notice. We were just thrown out in the street. I myself, I'm struggling personally. I'm sure all the rest of us are. And we're all just trying to kind of scramble and reinvent our lives and try and facilitate for our livelihoods. It's just kind of sad that, like, one minute we're fearing for our lives in the pandemic and next minute we're out in the street. We're in the matter of weeks, you know, that kind of way.
Sorry, did you say one minute we are fearing for our lives in the pandemic?
Yeah, with the pandemic, we lost like 5-6 people and one person survived. I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, I worked for palliative, I did a lot of palliative work, and I worked like with a lot of dementia care residents. And with the pandemic, two of them in particular that lost their lives to COVID, they weren't allowed to have their families in. They weren't allowed to be approached. I mean, I was gowned up, and I actually got to give one of them a hug. And the two people in particular, that they said to me, like, I'm drowning. It's horrific. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I deem palliative, the end-of-life care, as a very spiritual and emotional experience, which it is. Mm. But it was horrific.
And Liam, why did it close so suddenly?
Why did it close? Well, they were, it's funny because they said one minute it was that the building wasn't fit for purpose, and then the next thing they said that some work needed to be done. That HICWA had given them some sort of like notice that some work needed to be done for the building to be fit for purpose, and then all of a sudden, then it just all happened so quick, Joe. That was just, we're all gone. The nuns got in the liquidators, and we're out in the street, residents and staff.
And did you see the liquidators?
We did. Yeah, okay. They came in on the 11th of August.
How many? Like, I don't know how the liquidators work. Tell me that.
It was actually kind of weird because they went. You came in, and all of a sudden, then we came in. They showed up on the 11th, I think around 12 o'clock, and then they said then by Friday, the 13th or the 14th, the 14th of August, they gave us letters and called us all in one by one and called in as a group as well and said, listen, we're done. We've no money for wages. We've no money for redundancy. But you will get paid for the day, the Monday and Tuesday, the 2 days that they were there. You will get paid for those days. But anything else, we're going to have to kind of go to the government and see will they reimburse us and do whatever. So it was just kind of like really crazy how it just happened so quick, you know?
And did they, like, was it to do with COVID? Did they say we couldn't?
No, we got a letter because I'm now on Job Seeker, so I'm at a third of my wages per month, and I'm really struggling. But we got a letter from the nursing home itself saying that the building was closing due to kind of that needs to be done, that the building wasn't fit, and the building, it was no way COVID related. So we couldn't even, I couldn't even seek a little
but
bit
it's
of
a modern,
help.
I know when I was going on to the start about Belvedere Place and Mountjoy Square and me going on about Dublin in the rare old time, but it's a modern building. There's a big part of it as a modern building. Am I correct?
It's a beautiful building. I mean, I worked for Nurse on Call for like 3 years previous, and I've worked every UQ hospital. I've worked like dozens and dozens of nursing homes from Bray to Swords. And when I actually started working in St. Monica's, I loved it. I loved the people. I loved the staff. I gelled. We were just a family, and we were all about just the ethos and the mission of taking care of the residents. And
now, I know it's attached to a very old, beautiful-looking red brick building.
Yeah.
But you could say that the main part of St. Monica's is a modern office block-type construction.
You'd have to see yourself. I had a beautiful garden at the back. I had a wonderful chapel that was part of the building that we'd have mass every day for the residents, and it was just a routine for them every day. It was actually quite nice. It was lovely to be there and to work
and
with
the
staff.
And it's in the centre of Dublin, easy to get to.
Dublin 1. I don't even know if there's any other nursing homes that are city like that are located in the city that close for people to kind of like, you know, accommodate their loved ones and not gone too far, you know.
Did KPMG, the liquidators that you met,
yeah,
did they say, well, we're going to seek what we can sell off?
No, we had to go in and do sign forms to apply for a statutory redundancy and then loss of wages and loss
but
of...
They
like,
were, but I suppose my point is, KPMG were in charge now.
Yeah, okay. They were our bosses. When they stepped in, we did nothing, could do nothing. We had no control over nothing. We were just... They were our bosses. They told us what to do.
Okay, so they were in charge of everything.
Yeah.
So my question now is to KPMG. Why did you sell a safe without looking into it? In a nursing home, of all places.
Yeah, no, okay, we've been protesting outside the St. Monica's, and you'll see vans and like car loads and lorry loads of furniture and stuff, chairs, all different kinds of furniture, just getting shipped out. Like, it was just like, I don't know, like it was more of a business than anything else, you know?
I'm very worried and upset about those.
Yeah, no, we had this one lady, her name was Maureen Murphy, and she was a doll. She's been there for over decades, and she couldn't really speak. But anyway, when she found out the news, she stopped eating, and she ended up in the hospital then for, I think she's actually just got out of hospital. She's been in the hospital a couple of months now.
Okay, Liam, stay there. There's more people. We are trying to track down and find out why, as I say, the nursing home's called St. Monica's Nursing Home. It shut down abruptly, as Liam is one of the former workers telling us recently, in the middle of COVID, and they struggled, as every nursing home did, through COVID. And then we were contacted by a man in Ratangan, County Leash, or thereabouts, Liam, Paul Ryan. And Paul bought a safe, a big old Sherlock Holmes safe with the marks are still on it, the metal, the cast iron. You can see the markings under the lever lock where the key would swing every time it was being used. So looking at the as Mick O'Farrell has pointed out on Twitter, looking at the markings, that is an old strong sturdy safe. Paul opened the safe. By the way, the keys were with the safe. He opened the safe, and then he found this drawer at the bottom, and in the bottom of the drawer were, it looked like, rings, valuables, wills, grave documents in terms of cemeteries, and lots of other stuff which he wants to get back ASAP to those who were involved in St. Monica's, and he felt the best way to get it back was to actually put it up on Liveline. We'll be back after this break. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And somebody has just sent me in. They've been looking up the HICWA reports, which are on, by the way, on their website. And I'll come back to you. The latest HICWA report, and I'm reading this quickly. HICWA didn't have any problem with St. Monica's Nursing Home.
Is that question to me?
Yes, Liam, they didn't. HICWA didn't.
Well, we were told, in the letter that we received, we was told that HICWA did a report and they said that the building was fit. Honestly,
the premises met the needs of residents. I just want to know. I want to find out why it was shut down. It's not HICWA.
Then it was the Sisters of Charity. They called in, and they were the ones that are called in, appointed the liquidators.
The premises met the needs of residents. Residents had access to an adequate... This is the agency's report, HICWA.
Yeah.
And they can be very tough, as you know. They don't pull any punches. That's their
job. I know that, yeah.
Residents had access to an adequate amount of private and communal space. The number of toilets and bathrooms was adequate to meet the needs of residents. There was not enough storage space for equipment being used. Equipment was being stored in the bathroom. But that's...
We took care of that. We were told that we took a room off each floor and turned it and made one less resident, and then we turned that into a storage room.
Okay.
So we facilitated them and anything they asked, really.
Food and nutrition, according to HICWA in St Monica's nursing home, which closed abruptly, many weeks ago now, Liam? Six or 7 weeks ago, residents were provided with a choice of nutritious meals at each mealtime. Meals were served to residents in the dining room. They appeared wholesome and nutritious. A sample of residents observed received meals and drinks in accordance with their care plan. An appropriate number of staff were available to assist residents at mealtime. This is I don't know what makes a 5-star nursing home, but it was definitely a 4-star nursing home, Liam.
Well, I'm telling you, from the care they got from us and the love.
So why is it gone?
I'd put out 5-star, Joe. It was just... We were a family working there, and even with the pandemic, we pulled together and just put our own lives at risk, our families at risk, to do what we had to do, and we did it great. If you look at the numbers from various different nursing homes around... the casualties and the loss that we had, we did excellent in our.
Okay, I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you in a sec, Liam, because I want to talk about the COVID. And you say we lived in fear during COVID, as a lot of residents and staff in nursing homes did when they were abandoned by the government and hung out to dry by a number of trade unions. Stephen Mangan. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's your connection with St Monica's nursing home?
Well, on the night, my grandmother passed away in St Monica's. She'd been there for a number of years. And
that's 2005 now.
It wasn't a 4 or 5-star nursing home, Joe. It was a 10-star nursing home.
10-star,
I've never
okay.
seen anybody who was looked after as well as the residents were in St Monica's.
That's fantastic.
You know, it was a home away from home for the residents. And, you know, I mean, hearing about the safe now today is it's indicative of the way they treated their staff. They just threw everything kind of out the street. And that's just the way, you know, the way it looks and the way people feel about it now at this stage. That the staff were just left out in the steps, and anything that was belonged to anybody was basically, as you're finding out there now, it's just discarded and not even...
So your mother, I know nursing homes are difficult at times, and trying to persuade older people to move in can be difficult and traumatic. But you say your nursing home, you mentioned your mother's name there, Anne Moore, and that she had her time there. You were very, very happy.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, some of the staff there that were there were personal friends over the years and the whole lot, you know what I mean? But I mean, it was literally, Joe, it was like going into your granny's house, you know. It wasn't like a nursing home. She had been in another place out in Bray, never settled and the whole lot, and that was like an institution. But you know yourselves, you hear horror stories about nursing homes every day of the week, but St Monica's was like it was a home away from home for the residents, and it was literally a 10-star, as I said.
And to find that a safe from that St Monica's nursing home ends up legitimately, on the one hand, in Paul's hands, and Paul was good enough when he opened the safe and found the document, he was good enough now to make the effort to try and repatriate the documents. But the documents are really meaningful documents, should never have been thrown out. Never.
It's lucky that somebody like Paul found it.
Someone could have bought that safe. It's cast. I don't know what you do with such a monstrous piece of cast iron, whether you sell it for scrap. But that stuff could have been burnt in an incinerator for all we know. Mm-hmm. Stephen Mangan, God rest your mother, Anne Bourne. But Stephen said it wasn't a 4-star. I said 4-star because I don't know much about nursing homes. Liam, the description to me was 5-star. And Stephen says his mother lived there. It was 10-star. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hi, Dan.
How are you? You worked there, Elizabeth.
I did. I was there for about 15 years. On and off.
And when was that?
I think I started there, it would have been the middle to late, would have been late 80s. And at that time, it was a very different place. And for my own father, it was built originally as a retirement home for priest housekeepers.
Back
at the turn of the century.
Wow.
Because my own dad was from North Circular Road.
Okay.
And then when I came, there were 4 floors of residence. And the top two floors were those that were fairly independent. The next two, you know, as it came down, their needs were higher. And in the late 90s, and I can't, and I wish to God I could remember the date, it was completely refurbished.
Okay.
From top to bottom. And at that time, the top two floors were taken over by the Sisters of Charity. They had their six sisters, and it was there, like a mini convent, if you like.
And it was, was it a retirement home for older nuns?
No, it probably was in a sense at that stage, but not when I went there first, it wasn't.
Okay.
But and then the bottom two floors, which is where I did most of my nursing, would have been, it was all, you know, ordinary nursing home care residence.
Yeah, yeah. And what was it like to work there?
I loved it. Loved it, worked at nights and days. It wasn't until there was a change came around, and then it was just made more difficult for me to work, and I got an offer of a more senior position somewhere else. So.
And who ran the nursing home, Elizabeth?
This is a charity.
And was it nuns who actually ran St. Monica's?
Well, like when I started there, there was a Sister Lillian who was she was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was refurbished, it has HSE involvement, and a director of nursing was appointed. And Sister Lillian still had an overall kind of background, that type charge. I'm not sure exactly what it would have been.
If you say you were happy there, which you were, obviously, so that means Sister Lillian was good at her job.
Oh, she was. She was a lovely person.
Okay, good.
But then she was there when I left. And Debbie Mortimer was there when I left.
Okay, Debbie.
She was a nurse, yeah.
Okay, so there is a ring.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There is a ring, and it says it's sellotaped to a piece of paper with the word Debbie Mortimer on it for a start, so maybe we can find
Debbie. Ring.
Okay, handed in by Debbie Mortimer in 1998.
She was assigned for it, yeah.
Okay, and your documentation is just too sensitive. You know, it's too private in terms of people's details.
It's incredible to
show.
Because, you know, it would have been a retirement home from dating back to those documents.
Yeah.
As I say, for priest housekeepers. I don't know whether the Sisters of Charity had it back then or not. I have no idea when they came into it.
Okay.
Whether they ran it all the time or not, I have no idea.
So we've established that it seems to be a very, very good nursing home, that it closed suddenly, that HICWA were happy with it, that all the staff were called in with very short notice, that all the residents were told, again, with very, very short...
I'm so surprised, because I didn't even know it was closed.
Okay, well, it is, unfortunately.
Sorry, Joe.
And it was. Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay, Liam, yes, briefly, Liam.
Sorry, Joe, can I chat? I just got a text there from... A couple of our shop stewards, Yvonne Turnley and Liz Mead, they're actually out on the Guildford Road now protesting as we speak outside the Sisters of Charity's headquarters. They said that the nuns actually sold the building. It wasn't actually HICWA, it was the nuns actually sold the building, so that's how it all ended so abruptly.
No, but I want to find out from KPMG.
Okay.
I want to find out from one of the biggest companies in the country. And one of the best paid and one of the most professional companies have liquidated.
Obviously, didn't have money to pay us our wages, or we were left with no wages for August, no Dunn's package, nothing. So, I don't know how big they were, but I was left with nothing, you know what I mean? So I was left with just more stress and grief as the rest of us were, you know, so as the residents and as the residents' families were too, you know, so I don't know how big they could be.
So we're going to come back to this, Liam, to try and solve. One, I'm so sorry that you were left out to dry like that after brilliant, brilliant stuff. By the way, again, more information.
It was all just, everything's just been so quiet, and just this is the key now, that the truth's going to be unfolded, you know.
Well, let's try and find it, because HICWA are saying the most recent report I can find, HICWA staffing compliant, training and staff development compliant, directory of residents compliant, insurance compliant, governance and management compliant, statement of purpose substantially compliant, volunteers, I don't know what that means, but it says not compliant, notification of incidents compliant, complaints procedure substantially compliant, written policies procedure compliant, end of life compliant, premises substantially compliant, food, nutrition, compliant, fire precautions, really important, compliant. really important, compliant. Medical and pharmaceutical services, compliant. Individual assessment and care plan, compliant. Healthcare, compliant. Protection, substantially compliant. Liam O'Reilly, you should be proud that you worked there. And that's an incredible testimony to the staff and of St Monica's.
Well, just I ran a program with dementia patients. I worked mostly with dementia patients, and we had volunteers that would come in off the street. Well, we had one in particular that would come in 2-3 times a week and actually volunteer her time and service as well.
Okay, so no, it's not a criticism.
We did a great job. It's heartbreaking that was ripped from us, you know.
Okay, Paul, a final word. You really have opened you've opened a safe anyway. Where are the documents now?
Okay, I have the documents myself.
Okay.
I said there's a number of watches, a number of rings. And just to clarify, that is a ring given in by Debbie Mortimer.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that's a resident's ring.
Someone's ring, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, where's Jennifer Keegan? Jennifer, we mentioned a beautiful woman called Nanny Frances, according to Liam O'Reilly. Yeah. You are her granddaughter, Jennifer.
I am indeed, yeah.
And where is Nanny Frances at the moment?
She's in a new nursing home up on the Navan Road now.
Okay, and what age is Nanny Frances?
She is 102. She'll be 103 in April, please God.
And how is she?
She's okay. I haven't been able to see her with the restrictions. My dad did get up in the first kind of few days, but then the restrictions have obviously gone very strict.
And you know, what do you call her? Do you call her Nanny or Fran?
We had loads of names for her. Nanny was the main one.
Okay.
Nana, but Nanny would have been the main.
Okay, so how long was your nanny in St. Monica's, do you know, Jennifer?
Was it 2 or 3 years? 2 years anyway, yeah. Was there for a good few years. So if she's coming up on 103 now, it was shortly after her 100th birthday.
Wow.
She's kind of started going up downhill. She had quite a few hospitalizations.
Yeah, these happened.
She got to have her 100th. We had a fabulous party for her, and my Auntie Helen organized, and we had about 100 people there, and then on the actual day of her 100th birthday, we were all down in the house. She lived just on St. Ignatius Road there, and we had all the neighbours in and the family. And
when was your nanny told she was being moved out of St. Monica's?
So it was very shortly before, we were told it would be October that we were told that she'd be one of the last to leave.
Okay.
I suppose because of her age and not wanting to unsettle her if possible.
Yeah.
And we were told October. But then it ended up being August, and it was very, very quick.
A few days now. And how was your nanny when she was leaving?
I saw a video, but I wasn't allowed to be there as such. But there was a video of it, and it was heartbreaking. All the staff, the fabulous, fabulous staff, and that's the reason why I'm ringing in. I just wanted to thank the staff. They were all standing outside, and they were clapping as she was taken away. And I know Liam very, very well, and that's why I rang in. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to Liam, Sheila, Dermot. I could go on. That other guy said it's a 10-star
Paul.
That
was Stephen,
they're just fabulous, fabulous people, and they loved my nan so much. And all the residents. I went in to visit her every week, and my dad would have been in nearly every night of the week, and my auntie, my uncle, my mum. We got to know them all very well, and it wasn't a nursing home, it was a family. It's exactly as Liam has described. And I'm heartbroken for them with how they've been treated, and that's what I just want to ring in to show my support just to thank them.
And
again,
nanny got friends in St. Monica's? Buddies or whatever?
Her dementia would have been quite bad in the last while.
Okay.
In the first year, I would have gone into visit, and let's say wheeled her down to the dinner area, and she would have had her seat that she'd sit with the same ladies, and the ladies would help her.
They knew each other's ways.
Know, with Nanny being so old, they would have helped her, you know, pour a glass of water and things like that. So she always sat with the same people.
Okay.
But in more recent times, she wouldn't have been as aware kind of what was going on, but she knew Liam without a doubt.
Okay.
And he always managed to get a smile out of her.
Okay.
Not too long ago, she was even calling him her boyfriend.
Okay.
They had a great relationship.
Briefly, Jennifer, where was your nanny from originally?
St. Ignatius Road, literally just up the road. And as far as I know, her own mother was in St. Monica's. Many years before
Well, wish her well. I know it's a very traumatic move. Very traumatic.
We were
such short notice.
That she had to leave.
But anyway, what did you hear? What did you think when you heard the backstory, which is how it came to Liveline's attention, that the safe from St. Monica's was found with documentation still in it?
I know, absolutely crazy. I just really hope that whoever owns them, reunited with them.
I don't know what to do now. People are ringing in with ideas. Did we give it to Hickwe? Hickwe should have a record of everything that was in that safe or whatever. Okay. Jennifer Keegan, kind regards to you and Nanny Frances. Liam O'Reilly, thanks indeed, and kind regards to the other staff who've been treated so badly, according to your description, which you've no reason to doubt, and we'll come back to this later on. And Paul Ryan, thanks for contacting us. We'll try and solve this mystery at some stage, either today or tomorrow or Monday over the weekend. Okay, thanks indeed. 51551, wash your hands. Another very difficult story after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
The Samaritan's number is 116123, 116123. That's a 24-hour helpline. You can contact them on joe@samaritans.ie. That's J-O, joe@samaritans.ie. Pieta House, you can call free on 1-800-247-247 or text the word HELP, H-E-L-P, to 51444. And more figures. I'm just reading during the break there. The Irish Times, breaking news from Freya McClements in Derry. Northern Ireland records 934 cases today. That's more than double the previous record, which was set, 3 days ago. So nearly 1,000 people up north have tested positive for coronavirus in the largest daily increase since the pandemic began. Back in February. And then if you read different reports and what's happening at the minute, the word circuit breaker is beginning to surface a lot. And that means a complete lockdown for a short period to try and break the run of... I know we've no vaccine and I know people don't want to be preaching, but guys, there's no vaccine for stupidity at the moment. So we really need to be extraordinarily careful on the whole island, extraordinarily careful, and limit your contacts. And if you do have contacts, try and make sure they're outside in the open air and limit them as much as possible. Back to the mystery of St. Monica's. Pat Costello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your connection with this safe that's turned up with documentation in it from St. Monica's Nursing Home, closed a couple of weeks ago in Belvedere Place in central Dublin near Mountjoy Square, and the looks like the contents were sold off. How did you come across the contents, Pat?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was an online auction.
Yeah.
And my son actually bought the contents of what you did was you would say if they had room 12.
Yeah.
You made a bid on that room and whatever was in it was yours.
And what would be in a room?
In the bedrooms you'd have a bed, maybe lockers, sometimes an armchair.
Oh my God.
But that particular room where the safe was kind of a workshop room.
Yeah.
And you had, there was a desk in it and there was a lot of PPP protection, you know, that stuff for...
Yeah, of course, because it was in the middle of COVID, yes.
Yeah, and the safe was there. Now, the safe had no key.
Well, the safe we have has a key.
Well, the one was there. It was a big metal safe.
Oh, this is a big metal safe. It's an old...
maybe about 2 foot, maybe a foot and a half high or 2 foot high.
Yeah, this is, yeah, yeah. Well, this is, obviously there's a couple of them in the building, but this one had a key. That's how we found the documentation and the jewellery and the wills and the grave details.
Right, well, there was no key, so we left it behind us.
But you're telling me, Pat, that they sold the contents of the nursing home, we presume it's the liquidator. We're trying to get the liquidator to come on, or indeed the sister of charity to come on.
It was an auctioneer company.
They were only doing their job. But they sold them as rooms. So I could have bought room 12.
Yes.
I could have bought... I can't even think of this prospect after the people describing that the parents, their grannies, how they loved living there. 10-star, they called it. I could have bought the contents of my granny's room if she was in that nursing home and I knew the name of the room, the number of the room.
Yeah.
Sure, that's shocking. Is it not?
It was up online, all the different rooms, and then in the kitchen we bought a meat slicer and there was a kind of toasters and there was an oven and all that sort of stuff. And they were all sold off. But if you bought a room, you bought whatever was in that room. There was ladders in it and chairs,
and the bedside lockers, and if there was a commode or whatever, I don't know where they're
in the bedroom. In the bedroom, definitely.
Okay. And what did you buy?
Well, it was my son actually bought it. He bought two bedrooms, and there was a bed in it, you know, the hydraulic bed that goes up and down, and there was about 18 or 19 lockers, and a little office table and chairs. There's a big, huge cabinet, maybe 8 foot long, 7 foot high, book press.
And how much? Can you tell, were they bargains?
They looked at it at the time, but some of them were, to be honest with you, now.
Yeah, I know, but that's what
you... There's a lot of rubbish in the room, you know.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people in that place who were given very short notice to move to another nursing home.
Yeah, I was wondering, was it closed from COVID or something like that?
No, it wasn't. And it wasn't closed by HICWIN. It wasn't because it closed the fire regulations. And we're trying to find out why it was closed so abruptly. And the liquidators
moved
in.
It's a lovely place, a lovely building.
It's a beautiful building, yeah, beautiful. Okay, Pat, best of luck with what your son bought. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Debbie Mortimer, apparently that ring that's been found in that safe was a ring that was handed to Debbie, by a member of staff. And Debbie was a well-loved member of staff and is still alive, thank God, of St. Monica's nursing home in Belvedere Place. We'll try and get to the bottom of the mystery of St. Monica's. And the fact that the residents were moved with very short notice and the staff were left high and dry. So there's the liquidators we're trying to get on, it's the sisters of charity we're trying to get on, and also we're trying to reunite all that documentation that was found in County Laois from St. Monica's, and really private and sensitive document, and valuable, nostalgic, important document. Maeve Mooney was the BCO, Kieran Dunn was in sound, Rebecca Meehan produced. I'm talking to Nathan Carter on Sunday night at 10:30 on The Meaning of Life on RT1 Television. And Ray Darcy's next.